Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
The scene is this. Saul has been appointed and anointed king. Unbeknownst to him, a little shepherd boy has been anointed king at the same time, which is problematic to have two anointed kings. Saul doesn't know about that. The story we're going to look at today and next week is a story of David and Goliath. So Saul has been appointed anointed king, and Israel is at war with the Philistines. And here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 says this. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. So the Philistines had gathered their armies together. They were gathered at Soko. And it says this specifically, which belonged to Judah. Which means what? They have no right to be there. The Philistines have gathered in the land where Judah is. They have no right to be there. But they're there anyway. God had promised them this land and victory over the enemies. But the enemy, the Philistines, had gathered there anyway. Sometimes the enemy doesn't respect what God has given us. Verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. They encamped at the Valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array against the Philistines. So it says that Saul was gathered with Israel and they were dressed for battle. But the problem is they weren't battling. They were just simply dressed for battle. They were gathered together and they were dressed up. They looked like an army. In fact, they were an army, but they weren't in battle. They were just dressed up. And it is so important that we do more than just gather together and look like Christians. The Philistines were encamped on one side. Israel was camped on the other side of these hills, and in between there was this valley. And as they were preparing for battle, the Philistines sent out their champion. His name is Goliath. And if you look back in the original language, you'll discover his last name is Schwarzenegger. Actually, he probably looked more like Iron Man than Arnie. His javelin, his armor that he had, the spear was like a weaver's beam, his bronze javelin. He was a huge man. He had huge strength. He was a huge, huge presence, and he was very intimidating just by looking at him. Depending on how you do the math and who you read, it's potentially he was 9 foot 6 or 9 foot 9. I mean, that is almost to the place where you walk under a basketball hoop and you got to duck your head. You know, your head would be in the net. I mean, he is an intimidating just to look at. And Goliath declares battle. We'll pick it up in verse 8. So this is Goliath. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come up to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me in this valley. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." Then he said these words. Then the Philistine said, "I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man and we'll fight together. We may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. It's very important he said those words, "I defy the armies of Israel." He says, let's avoid all of us being involved in this. Let's just pick two guys to fight. And what happened is, we see this, that the enemy's terms filled God's people with fear. And that has always been the enemy's tactic. That has always been, it seems like it always will be, the enemy's tactic. To spout off and to speak and to say whatever that would cause fear in the people of God. What we don't see in the story, but I would submit to you, is Israel did not have to accept those terms. Israel did not have to say, okay, well, this is what the enemy said, so this is how it's going to unfold. This is how the battle's going to take place. This is how it's to be done. The people of God still do not have to accept the enemy's terms. Don't let the enemy dupe you into thinking you have to accept his terms. Remember, he's the father of all lies. And in fact, Goliath was lying. If you win, we will serve you. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you win, we will run away as fast as we can. That's what it was about to happen. I would have loved to see Goliath say, do you accept these terms? And Israel say, no, we do not, and rush down into the battle. The whole Israelite army descending on Goliath. When the enemy comes to you in his terms and says you're not going to make it, that all you need to do is roll over and play dead, that your family's not going to make it, that your situation is impossible, that your God isn't big enough to intervene, we can say we do not accept those terms. Because we know that our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power of God that works in us mightily. We shall resist the devil and he'll flee. Receive the word of the Lord. The other thing that we see in this is the enemy's terms will say, you just pick one and send him down. Loved ones, we never have to face the enemy alone. We're family. Don't let the enemy isolate you into thinking somehow you have to face him alone. We're called into community. This is a church. We are family. And we will stand arm in arm, brother and sister, against the enemy. The enemy of your soul suggests that you go one-on-one with him. You can simply reply, there's already been a one-on-one. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the cross of Calvary at the empty tomb, Jesus already went one-on-one. Once for all, the enemy is defeated. We never need to face him alone. But Saul accepted these terms. And verse 16 tells us that this went on for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine? 40 days and 40 nights being taunted by the enemy. Maybe you don't have to imagine. Maybe that's your life. Maybe when you wake up in the morning, the enemy taunts you. Maybe you go through your day and the enemy taunts you. Maybe the last thing that you're facing as your head hits the pillow as the enemy taunts you, the accusations. His voice rings in your ears, reminding you of your situation, that it's helpless and your God is helpless. Do you understand what defying the armies of the living God looks like? It is this defiance, it is this resistance, it is this opposition with boldness and accusation. And that enemy of our soul, he still stands with boldness and accusation. Accuser of the brethren. And it's upon this scene, and this is what I want to look at this morning with you, it's upon this scene that David arrives. I want you to see why David is there. Verse 17. Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Brothers are enlisted in the army. They're there. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Why did David go? It was more than a cheese delivery. Okay, this was more than skip the dishes or DoorDash or anything like that. David went because he was about his father's business. He went because his dad told him, you go there and do this. He was about his father's business. And he was to come back and bring news. He wasn't to come back and bring the head of a giant. That's not why he went. He was just simply about his father's business. Do this task and come back. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've found, I know there's a battle. I know there's a battle that's going on. I know people are in battles. I just wasn't expecting to be in this one myself. I wasn't expecting to be in this battle, whatever you're facing. I was just bringing supplies. I'm just being about my father's business. I'm just following God. I'm just living life like I know how to before God. And all of a sudden, there is a battle that I was not expecting to be in. So he arrives, and here's Goliath spouting off. And he hears what the enemy's saying, and he sees the impact on God's people. the impact of the enemy's words. And in fact, they say to him, when he arrives, we're going to read this, they say to him, have you seen the enemy? Have you seen the enemy? And sometimes we as God's people can utter those words, have you seen how bad this is? Have you seen the enemy? This is what they say to him. Watch what happens. It's verse 26, 1 Samuel chapter 17. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And then they tell David, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It means he's outside of the covenant. This uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God. Tell me again about the taxes. Yeah, I get it. Riches and the girl. But no more taxes? I'm in. And takes away the reproach of Israel. The word, the connotation is the shame and the embarrassment. This is embarrassing. This is shameful. What is taking place, that no one is standing up to the enemy. Verse 28, Big Brother speaks. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was aroused and said against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. You weren't faithful with even those few little sheep. What have you done? I know the pride and the insolence of your heart. Here's how some other versions write this. You've come to see the battle. Well, not much happening. You came to see the battle. You're standing here for 40 days, shaking in your boots. Come on. The Good News version says, you cheeky brat. Right? You can hear that, right? You cheeky brat. The Message said, you've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at the bloody battle. NIV says, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. Ouch. New Living, I know about your pride and dishonesty. Darby Version, Authorized Standard, King James says this, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. The naughtiness. Sit in the naughty chair, right? It's this moment of, I know you, little brother, the naughtiness of your heart. Now, Eliab was there when David was anointed king a little while ago, when he thought he was going to be the guy, and then the two brothers Samuel, the prophet, would say, God looks on the hearts, and there's somebody else, and David would come. And apparently that didn't translate to his brothers looking up to him. See, Jesse didn't invite David in. Jesse looked down on David, and as much as he loved him, he looked down on David. His brothers looked down on David. We're going to see that Saul will look down on David. Goliath will look down on David. But the difference was this: God looked down upon David, looked upon him, looked upon his heart. David answers this in verse 29. What have I done now? Can you hear that? Can you hear, little brother? What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Isn't this worth it? Isn't this worth living for? Isn't this worth dying for? Is there not a cause that we would stand up? Saul is told of David's talk and he summons him. He's going to set him straight. He'll say things like, and we'll read it, you're not able. You have no experience. Goliath has nothing but experience. You don't stand a chance. Watch verse 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth and he is a man of war from his youth. You have no experience. He's got nothing but. David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. One of his brothers listened. You know, those father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Let no man's heart fail. Remember, they were gripped with fear. 40 days, 40 nights. Here's the enemy's terms. This is how it's going to happen. This is how your life is going to turn out. I have the final word. I'm determining the boundaries of this battle. Let no one's heart fail. Heart failure isn't just physical. There is a spiritual heart failure that they experience and an emotional heart failure. And David said, let no one's heart fail. Let me tell you what I've done, what God has done, how he delivered me. And he says this line, I don't know if you caught it, and I grabbed it by its beard. The lion or the bear. You know what that is? Look at me. Look at me. Because my face is the last thing you're going to see. Look me in the eye. I will make eye contact with the enemy, and it is the last thing you're going to see. And he killed the lion and he killed the bear. And he said, this Philistine is going to be just like that, just like God delivered me. Then he's going to deliver me now. Goliath, man, he's a lot of noise. He's got a lot of experience, and he's a champion. His size is impressive armor, but he has defied the armies of the living God. David had not read the New Testament yet, but he understood the truth that if God be for us, who can be against us? And Saul says this, now go, and the Lord be with you. We're going to close with this. Let me ask you this. Are you just about your father's business? Just following God? Some of us made a dedication here fresh and anew. I just want to be about our father's business. Just do what God's called me to do. As you are, be aware that you will discover a battle that you need to be engaged in. You will face giants. Giants are things that are bigger than you. You will face things that are bigger than you. Maybe it's a giant bill. Maybe it's a giant diagnosis. Maybe it's a giant relationship crisis. Maybe it's a giant sorrow. We will face giants. Even when we're just about our Father's business, we will face giants. Doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. We will face giants. In this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have troubles. We will face giants. We don't need to be fearful of the enemy. Over and over and over again, the Bible says, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Do not be afraid. Don't let your heart fail. Trust in God. Able to just step back and say, Lord, I trust you. With this giant, it's bigger than me. I'm outgunned, I'm outnumbered, I'm out experienced. I don't know what to do, but I'm stepping back and I'm trusting you. Just like the armies of Israel did in another place in Scripture in 2 Chronicles. We don't know what to do. We have no power against this great army, but our eyes are on you. Scripture says that he is the lifter of our heads. Maybe you're here this morning, you think, well, my eyes aren't on God. This is so big, Bear. You don't know how big this problem is. You don't know how big this giant is. Just like they said, have you seen the enemy? Have you seen this? That's where Scripture says he is the lifter of your head. That he will. It's not your own strength. It's not our own strength. If we just allow him to place his hands on our face and lift our heads, I lift my eyes up to the heavens. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Don't let your heart fail. Remember, you don't have to face it alone. Whatever you're facing, we've got Wednesday night prayer. I'll tell you, last Wednesday night, I was so touched by the presence of God and the depth of the things that people shared, and we cared for one another. There's a prophetic word, there's ministry. You don't have to face it alone. We don't need to accept the enemy's terms. Let's go ahead and pray. Worship team, I invite you to come join me. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for your word that brings us hope. And those things that are written in the Old Testament, these stories, we can learn from them and discover what you're saying to us today. God, we recognize as we are about our Father's business that it's no sin to face a giant. That sometimes just because we are about our Father's business, that's where the giants are. God, for those of us today who are struggling with fear, we know that's not from you. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So today, would you, oh God, dispel fear. We don't want to gaze at the giant and only glance at you, God. Oh, we'll acknowledge the giant, but we will lift our eyes to you. And I pray, oh God, for anyone and everyone watching online and here in this place who's facing a giant, God, you would be the lifter of our heads. And that there would be a strengthening of hearts. Let no one's heart fail, David said. And God, I pray right now that there would be such an infusion of hope in our hearts today, knowing in whom we have believed, that by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, you would birth and rebirth, create and recreate in us hope. Hope and trust and confidence and assurance. Because you are the God who knows the end of a thing from the beginning. You're the author and the finisher. You're the Alpha and the Omega. That nothing touches us. That nothing somehow catches you off guard of whatever we face. And you have already provided an answer. You have already provided a way. God, and I pray that you would strengthen us as a church community. That we would be able to bear with one another. That we would be able, those who are strong could carry those who are weak. And God, those who are weak would allow themselves to be carried by those who are strong. And God, we know that it's only seasons, that we're strong in a season, and then we're weak, and then we're strong. It's this cycle of when we need each other, when we can be the ones carrying, and when we are the ones who need to be carried. So God, whatever place we are in, God, would you work in us a community, a caring community, a church, a family, where we would care for one another. We could extend grace and strength in life, and no one would feel like they have to be so ashamed of the giants they're facing, but instead we could come with transparency and vulnerability and openness and discover that you have a path, you have a way forward. God, I pray that you would remind all of us of your terms of battle, not the enemy's. There would be scriptures even this week that would resonate in our hearts, scriptures that promise victory, not just when the battle's over, but even in the midst of the battle. The greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That you carry us in the everlasting arms, that we can cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. That you are the God who is near to the brokenhearted. God, that we're able to do that we're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, I pray for a strength today as we look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might say, Barry, you missed the best part. you left us hanging with David and Goliath. What's that about? He closed. The story closed with this. Go and the Lord be with you. Go and the Lord be with you. You say, well, the best is yet to come. That's true for your story too. The best is yet to come. Go and the Lord be with you. Because the best is yet to come.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.